Blog Talk Radio.
To the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we will be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Condiment Ali of ContinentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection. Using traditional African American folk magic practices, of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can rule out just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, nice to hear Hi. Your beautiful voice, Miss Tammy Lee.
Thank
How are
you.
Things down in Florida?
They are super duper. They are super duper. Just cranking up some things, getting ready for the fall down here, especially for October. Revamping the website and getting ready to get some things working and ongoing and stretching forward towards the future.
Well, good for you. And that website is TripleCrownConjure.com.
Yes, ma'am. And it's
and
really
I've and those of you unfamiliar with Miss Tammy Lee, other than through this forum, should go check out her website. Also, Miss Tammy Lee, I always want to thank you. You are one of the most consistent and friendly and helpful moderators on the Lucky Mojo Forum.
Listening
to this show who don't know about the Lucky Mojo Forum. People do listen in archive, and they have no idea what we're talking about. How do you get signed up to be on this show? Well, you go to the forum. It's forum.luckymojo.com. There's a thread there where you can sign up. And when you do, Miss Tammy Lee, our very own Miss Tammy Lee, will contact you, make sure that you're all lined up to be ready to get in when your number and name is called. Okay? So I always have to say yay for Miss Tammy Lee, because you are the lady who makes this thing work so well, and we're always grateful to you. Plus, you offer tremendous advice in the forum, how to use rootwork products and spiritual supplies, how to do simple spells with things you might have around your place. And also, you give a lot of advice on how to think about life. And I know that is something that sounds like, you know, we're just reading for people. But a lot of the time, what our job is to kind of give people some ideas on how to think. And I say that because I just did a reading today for a young woman in the prime of life, married to a very nice man, about ready to undertake the adventure of getting pregnant and having a child with this young man she's married. And yet her face is turned to the past, trying to break up the man who dumped her prior to this marriage four years ago, who is now expecting his second child with his current wife. And I had to tell her, you need an attitude adjustment. You know, yes, I could give you spells. And no, God's not going to hate you if you hate them. I mean, God might think you're wasting your life, though. And so a lot of what we do, and a lot of what I've always noticed in your work, Miss Tammy Lee, is that you have such a level head, and I just want to thank you for that, because the advice you offer to people is also about being a good person and not just how using spell work to put a quick Band-Aid fix on a bad emotion. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's a sign of a true root worker.
Thank you so much. That means
yeah.
so much from both of you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you've got the smarts and the wisdom.
Thank you.
All right. And Ollie, nice to hear from you. What's going on in Southern California?
Well, Southern California is quite hot right now, as I'm sure Dr. E will tell us as well. So my regular tea has been switched out for iced tea, and I am ready to go. I have updated my blog with a new post about magical chalks and how to make homemade chalks. We had some interest a couple weeks back on how to make these. And these are quite traditional and old school hoodoo. A lot of people have replaced it with the use of cascarilla, which is actually a little bit more Latin American, Afro-Caribbean. But the use of chalks really comes from African traditions of working with Pemba and Ifun. So if anyone is interested, do check out the blog. It's got some nice recipes on how to add Lucky Mojo powders to your chalks and then use and deploy them with the chalks. It's a great way of working and something that I love doing. I am a big fan of sneaky tricks that are quite subtle and no one catches and yet gives me the upper hand.
Wow. Wow. That's good. That's really nice that you made a page about that. And that's at your blog. Can't you give the URL for your blog?
Sure. Papa Newt has posted it in the chat. So thank you, Papa Newt. It is http://ravenconjure.blogspot.com, and then that will lead you directly to all my, you know, musings and thoughts and writings.
Great. Okay. All righty. Well, this week we have with us as our guest the inimitable Dr. E, also
Welcome,
of Southern
Dr.
California.
E.
Welcome, Dr. E.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I concur with Benjamin Ali. It is like the maw of hell down here. It's too hot. It's far too hot. I need to start doing some weather magic to turn this around because this is too much.
I'll join you. The two of us will conjure up some rain. How does that sound?
Isn't there some issue that controls weather that we can talk to? Because this is crazy.
There totally is.
Well, I've been busy myself. I've been collecting some information for the Santeria Church of the Orishas website. Our Church Action Committee, SAFE, which is for Santeros Against Fraud and Exploitation, has just come across some recent information, so we are compiling an article that we'll pull up hopefully either today or tomorrow. We're going to put that up on the website that everyone should definitely take a look at about some very questionable practices of people selling orishas through an internet website. So feel free to read that.
Wait, let's just back up. Wait, because I know there's going to be people 5 years from now listening to this at Log Talk Radio, and they're going to go, selling orishas. We got to explain here for everybody. We got to bring everyone along together. An Orisha is the name of a spiritual entity, deity, spirit, nature spirit, from a religion of Africa that has strong transference into Cuba and Latin America, even South America. Orisha is a name for this class of deities or nature spirits. In Santeria, which is or Lukumi, people... achieve contact with these spirits through personal initiation. And this initiation involves a ritual, right?
Right. Well, the way it works is there is the Orisha as in a spiritual entity, and then there is an Orisha as in the actual physical shrine that you have in your house, which has certain consecrated objects that have been ritually prepared. And then that shrine, which is basically a pot that has things in it, is given to the initiate in a very special ritual. That is the initiation. You know, it involves somebody kneeling on a woven grass mat, which is the meeting place between the gods and mankind. And you kneel down, and your godparent, who's giving you that initiation, will pray and invoke his lineage, hand the Orisha to you and explain to you, this is so-and-so, and this is the function they will hold in your life, and this is how you need to conduct yourself with this Orisha. It's very much a face-to-face apprenticeship kind of experience and transference of one sacred mysteries from one priest to another. And what this organization is doing is they are constructing Orishas, and people can go on their website, buy them, and they ship them to you in UPS.
Oh, dear.
You get a pot that you've received from UPS, and this is very, very non-traditional, very questionable practice. So we're going to really just dissect the entire process and talk about it in that article. So that's what I've been working on, and I've also been working on my own products and expanding my line with some of the recent political things that have been happening in our community. I got a real call from my clients for products relating to justice and for people to get justice. And we're talking beyond like a court case going in their favor. We're talking about let's work towards making justice happen. You know, the law strives to cultivate justice, but it doesn't always
social
serve
justice.
For people.
Social justice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm making a line of products for that. And it smells pretty nice, if I say so myself. So I've been working on that as well.
Well, I'm going to say you might want to use them on these people that are selling the Orishas by UPS here.
Exactly.
Is this article already written up, or it's in the process, just to clarify?
It's in the process. I have photographs
okay.
and everything with evidence, and I'm in the process of crafting it.
Gotcha. So we should look
right.
forward to the article coming
so
out.
So this is going to be this is going to be at what website?
It's the Santa Rita Church of the Orishas, which is one of the churches of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church movement. And you can find us at santeriachurch.org. That's santeriachurch.org.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to that and talk about this, because people are already commenting in the chat room, and I have some questions too. If a legitimate priest legitimately makes this pot,
right.
and gives it to you, is
right.
it a fake pot, or is the fact that the transmission is not properly done? Is it like what we would call a degree mill? You know, a degree mill is like a fake university
right.
where they have real professors who just, like, give you degrees right. for money.
Right,
is that
right.
what it's like?
The pot itself may be consecrated correctly, but until your physical body has gone through the proper initiatory steps to receive it, you basically have been handed a sacred relic that you can't touch yet. So it's like you haven't been given the license to touch it. You can throw your energetic balance severely out of whack by doing that. I mean, it's the equivalent of walking into a sacred room when an initiation is taking place when you don't have that initiation. You can really set yourself up for some real problems that way. And so that's why the person has to go through certain steps. That person is given a spiritual bath. They are knelt down on the mat in order to show God as a witness that this person is receiving this transference. And then when the ordination lineage is invoked and handed to that person, it hooks that person into the ordination lineage so that they can receive it.
Right.
But there's another thing that's not being discussed here, and that is nothing in the Afro-Cuban religions, and specifically talking about Santeria Lukumi, and even in Ifa, which is this organization claims to be doing it African Ifa style, nothing in these religions says that you can receive things without divination. Divination determines whether you need to receive something or not. And on this website, you can go on there and buy their entire catalog of stuff if you want to. No divination is done, nothing. You get a box at your house with an eschew in it.
Interesting. Well, that really talks about how in the African, and you know, this kind of expands beyond Lukumi, in the African traditional religions, there is such an intimate connection between both the ritual object and the individual itself, that type of intimate connection between spirit and person. To a certain extent, one may often argue that while the objects are extraordinarily important, the ritual itself seats the spirit in you, you know, and that seems to be a common trend and a common concept or paradigm amongst the African traditional religions. Yeah.
There's a couple of good comments in the chat I want to pick up. Old Defana said something. It's kind of like a non-Catholic misusing a communion wafer to take communion as a spiritual practice as well as the physical act of consuming the body of Christ. And for a Catholic, that is so true. You don't just go around taking blessed communion wafers and like selling them by UPS. That is
exactly
not right. You know, you can't have communion if you're not part of the community. And that's what Spades 01 said. Community is hugely important. The term communion and community are related, and in both cases, in Santeria and in Catholicism, what we're talking about is a community belonging to house, as Spades 01 says, and that is so important.
Right.
Yeah, very, very true. Thank you guys for contributing that.
You're welcome. What people seem to forget is that these are religions that are tribal in nature. You know, this idea of my fierce American independence, individuality, is going to do whatever it wants, is a very foreign concept to the native cultures from which these practices come. You know, you don't receive anything unless the gods tell you to do it in divination, and then it is an initiation given to you by the communities and the elders in the communities that not only birth those things for you and initiate you into those mysteries, but then the community gets to hold witness that you are now part of this thing. To order something online and receive it in the privacy of your home by UPS is completely against the cultural context from which these practices come.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Nagashiva makes a point. He said, I was at a funeral for a Catholic, and they asked people to come up to receive communion. I went up, and they didn't stop me. So it happens occasionally. Yes, Nagashiva, right. That is true. But I was at a funeral at an OTO church, and I was asked to step up and receive communion, but I was told that if I was to do so, I would have to declare and state various OTO principles and beliefs, and I refused to do so, and I was driven out of the building because I was found to be non-communing, even though I had gone there just for the funeral. So, again, different houses, different cultures, everyone is different, and I'm not saying that every OTO lodge would do that, but I'm saying that don't mess with people's mysteries is what I'm trying to say. You cannot purchase people's mysteries. If they offer you something freely, that's very nice. And there are levels of difference between communion and receiving an orisha. But the point here is that SAFE, the organization that you are running against fraud and exploitation in the Santeria Lukumi tradition, is really exposing something here which is horrific from a religious point of view. And whatever we have to say about it from our own personal opinion, from within the religion and speaking to an initiated priest of the religion, which you are, this is really virtually blasphemous, wouldn't you say?
It's an act. Yes. It is. You would never, ever do this. It's akin to taking the Holy Ark of the Covenant, putting it in UPS, and sending it to somebody's house. I mean, it's the same thing for us. That's how sacred those vessels are for us. They are our Holy Ark. You know?
Now, a quick question. Do you think that you will run into any type of, maybe controversy or arguments over orthodoxy, given that these people do claim to be part of maybe not necessarily Lukumi or maybe a different branch of Lukumi or perhaps Ifa? Do you find that that might be a bit of an issue, trying to kind of bridge the gap between the traditional Orthodox that you're espousing versus what they may be arguing from their perspective?
That's a really good point. And a lot of times people will retort by saying, well, that's not how we do it in my house, meaning we do it differently in my lineage. But the thing here is, this person that runs this organization was originally initiated Lukumi style and then went to Africa and received Ifa from African style. The thing is, African style, they wouldn't do this either. They would never think of doing this. Why do priests go all the way over to Africa to be initiated? Because the people in Africa would never think of mailing you a shrine.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, why spend all the money flying out there, right? Even he did it himself, you know? So it's a situation where somebody was initiated one way and was given a certain tradition and then has decided to modify or reinvent it for whatever reason. And at that point, when you've detached yourself from the practices of your lineage and are not following with what they taught you, that you're out on your own. And that's what you're out on yourself.
And, you know, this opens up a whole another topic, which is what the internet has done to folk magic, folklore, and folk religion, and the idea of instant gratification through the internet. And you know, we could go on at length about how the similar things have been done in magical practices, where you call a person and they say, "I'm casting a spell for you," and you have no idea what they've done. They've just taken your money.
Obviously,
money is a part of this. Also, people do things for fame, and that may be as strong a motivator for some as for as money is. But I'm really glad. I'm looking forward to reading this and seeing it exposed, because these are important things. This show is primarily about hoodoo, which is American, African, Protestant folk magic. But what we see is a kind of a blending and an overlap. It would be the equivalent in Wicca for somebody calling, saying, "I'll sell you a high priestess, initiation."
Initiation, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And it's happening.
And that, of course, and that is happening too. And these things are happening on all people who want to be part of traditional folk religions or even new religions which have their own delimiting lineages, as in Wicca. You need to be aware, folks, you need to be aware what the tradition is before you say, "Oh, I'm going to plunk my money down and get my initiation." Okay? So, this is happening all around, I'm really glad that you're exposing this. Spades01 says, "As hoodoo isn't a religious tradition, there isn't any sort of initiation." No, there is no initiation in hoodoo of that type, although one person wrote a book claiming that there was. Maybe two people did, but I've never seen such a thing. What there is an oral tradition, a tradition of teaching, and spells are transmitted from one to another, sometimes written down in books, but very often just taught personally. And you tend to remember and respect the people who taught you those spells. So I'm not sure that teaching through books is always the best way, or teaching on the web is always the best way, because different people's circumstances are different. But if you want to learn hoodoo, it always helps to, again, join a community. And that's what the important thing that's missing here is, not just the fact that this person is selling this thing at a long distance without any traditional contact, but also you're not really part of the community that that person says that you are. And the same is true of what I call the hoodoo fringe people, who, never really have any contact with African-American culture or society or people, but just simply want to, quote, learn the spells. They've missed one of the major parts of hoodoo, which is that it is a community of people.
Right, okay? Or just want to sell the products.
Yeah. And Johannes Gardbach, who's dialing in from Sweden, and hi, Johannes, he comments in the chat room, "A live meeting with a teacher is always an initiation. Forms only vary within cultural tradition." And he's right. It is a form of initiation to meet with a teacher and learn. That is so true. All right. And very nicely put, Johannes. So we're running a little over time, so let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee and let her get us back on schedule.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. We'll be taking your calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. And our first client this evening, or afternoon going into evening, is calling in from area code 410 from Baltimore, Maryland. This is Ryan 999. Ryan, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello. Great, and welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and remind Ms. Kat and Conjugal Lee that you have indeed had a reading on the show previously, but you have not been to any other readers since then. And Ryan writes, I'd like to know if I should push ahead with my dream of becoming a professional root worker. I've been reading the forum for about 1 year now, and I'd very much like to move forward with this. Do I have the spiritual potential to be a successful root worker? I'm trying to get it to you.
All right. Before I start to read, Ryan, I've got a couple of questions for you. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Aries,
okay. Aries is a very good sign for doing root work. Not as common a sign for a reader, but they can be good readers too. No one is limited by their sign of the zodiac, and of course there's lots of other things going on in everyone's chart besides their sun. But Aries are these kind of can-do people. I'm sure you noticed that about yourself, right?
Yes.
Okay. And may I ask also, about how old are you?
I'm 45.
45. And what have you been doing to earn a living, just generally speaking?
I'm a musician.
A musician. All right. Well, that also will help you in being a reader and a root worker because you're used to meeting the public. And I'm going to say something about that actually right now before I read for you. Being a reader and a root worker is at least a three-part job. Part one, divination, being in contact with the divine, spiritual knowledge, being able to read and receive oracular information. Part two is meeting with the public and being able to counsel people and put that message that you received across to them. And part three is being able to run a business. Because otherwise you could just read in divine as a homeless man on the street. Right? So there are three parts to it. And when anyone asks me, do I have what it takes to become a reader or a root worker, I always want to find out a little bit about where they've been at as far as organizing their life. The fact that you've been a musician tells me that you've been able to be successful in putting yourself across to the public. That's very good, but it doesn't tell me if you can divine. So now I'm going to throw the cards and we'll see what we get with that, okay?
Okay.
So the first card I have is a card called the Two of Pentacles. This is a man down by the water, and the water is going up and down almost like a little roller coaster ride. It's very fluent water there when there's boats on the water. And the man has two coins, one in each hand, and he's kind of balancing or juggling them, and he's dancing. He's a street performer, in fact. And this is a card about money, income, and balancing things. One of the reasons that you may be interested in doing reading and root work may have to do with money, but that's not a bad thing. But it does remind me to tell you that as a professional performer, you probably already know that your income will rise and fall. And all of us who choose the bohemian lifestyle are aware of the fact that our income rises and falls. So you have been balancing and juggling. You've been juggling, and you have been performing before the public. And you may be a little bit off balance at times, but you are able to put yourself across. The second card is a card that says you do have some talent for divination. In fact, I would say probably a pretty good talent for divination. This is the Queen of Cups. It's a woman card who is reading the content of a beautiful golden goblet which has a golden lid on it, and she can see inside of it. It is a good card for people who are diagnosticians. They can tell what's going on with someone. They are not reading signs from nature, but they have insight. We sometimes say they can read dreams, and they also are very good at diagnosing health problems in people. They are people who have spiritual familiars in the form of three Little Mermaid angel babies around them. And you would do well to cultivate some angelic helper spirits. And also to remember, as the Queen of Cups is, to be tender-hearted. This is not just about wowing and impressing people as a performer, but always to remember to be tender-hearted. For an Aries, that may be sometimes a secondary consideration because they're about getting things done. But this tells me that you have a great deal of insight and you can be a good diviner. You simply need to consider that your part of your job is to be of comfort to people, because this woman, the Queen of Cups, is a very comforting person. And the third card is a good card. It tells me that it's called the Three of Pentacles, and it tells me that you have the ability to build and sustain and make something of your life. The Three of Pentacles does not show a lot of money, however. There's no coins here. It is a coin card, but the coins are carved in stone. And this tells me that you may, for 3 years, not earn as much money as you would wish. It also tells me that you should seek and consult with others. The stonemason who's building this beautiful arch is doing so for the glory of God, but is also being consulting with a priest and an architect. So you should undertake some studies, teaching of some sort. And I don't know, have you ever taken a course in root work?
I have not.
Okay, well, I would say that you want to get a plan here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to promote myself. You know, but there is
I will
there
take,
is something.
Take the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork course.
I said
I'll do it.
Well, I'm not just trying to promote myself as a teacher. There are other people who teach as well. But for the money and for the amount of information you get, my course is a bargain, and you learn a lot. And you get me for life. As long as I'm alive, I'll you know, as Johannes said, any meeting with a teacher is an initiation, and I do take care of my students. So what I see here is make sure that you balance the metaphysical world with the physical world. That's the Two of Pentacles. Make sure that your money situation is adequate. You do have some divination talents. You do have the ability to make and do things, and you should get more education. So let's turn it over to Dr. E and see what he says.
Thanks, Kat. I'm going to use the Chamalongos today to get a real basic yes or no question, because I think Kat did a wonderful job of telling you the practical considerations of being a root worker. I mean, you're asking, you want to be a professional root worker, but are you doing root work right now?
I'm not. I'm just studying at the present, just reading books.
Okay, then I think it's one of those things, like, before you ask yourself if you should be a professional painter full-time, you should put some paint on a canvas. You know, it's the same kind of thing. Before you're sure if you want to be a professional woodworker, I think you need to, you know, cut your teeth on a lot of woodwork, start doing woodwork for yourself, you know, start playing with some of this stuff. You know, you got to get yourself out there and see what you have a knack for. Because I came into woodwork knowing that I had the ability to do spell work, thinking that I was particularly talented at money and love spells, and then discovering that I'm really good at cursing and reconciliation. So, you know, you there's things you will always learn along the way that may be out of your sight or maybe things you hadn't considered. And that's stuff that you want to keep in mind. Now, I'm going to go ahead and throw the Chamalongos here and find out just a real simple yes or no question. So bear with me for one moment while I go ahead and write. Con licencia de San Bienpungo, con licencia de mi tata Sarabango Tronco Firme, con licencia de mi yaya, yaya Lango Pisangalango, con licencia de los enfumes de mi tata, con licencia de los enfumes de mi yaya, con licencia de mi enfumbe, con licencia de mi Sarampungo Campo Firme, si esta se trae en su batalla, asking to see whether or not Leon has the ability, actually, does he have the spiritual propensity to be a professional root worker? Abrecuto Wurindinga. Okay, the answer here is yes, but it is right now occulted from view. Okay, you need to do more work to open your eyes to see whether or not your spiritual talents lie with just reading or just root work, or whether or not you can apply yourself practically in that. So I ask, while he does have the spiritual propensity for this, does he also have the practicality to run a business as a professional root worker? The answer is yes, but you're going to have to struggle to learn those things first. And like Kath's card of the Two of Pentacles said, with that idea of needing to juggle finances and learning how to make the practical side of the business work, you're going to have to make a lot of mistakes to learn the right way to do things. This is going to be one of those things where you really learn by cause and effect. You learn by triumph and by failure in order to be a good business person in conjunction with the root work. Okay? Now, to my spirit, I ask, should he begin with taking a professional, like a course, a root working course? The answer is yes, absolutely. One has already been given to you. Don't ask what you already know. So there you go. You know, you should definitely start with Kath's course. Start by actually doing some of these things, learning how to cleanse, learning how to do some basic stuff like making mojo bags, learning how to use powders. Start actually doing it. Don't just read it, okay? This is a path where you have to actually make an effort to learn the technology of it and then couple that with the practicality of running a business. You know, those, you have to learn how to do that. And then, of course, what Kat said, but I cannot emphasize enough, is we are 75% counselors. You really have to learn how to learn to counsel people, how to talk to them, how to coax out of them the information they may not be willing to share that is critical to their case, and learning how to handle people with care and consideration so you don't come across gruff and like, what do you want? What's your problem? Okay, here's what you need to do. But instead it comes across like, so tell me what's going on. Here's the factors that are at play. Here's what you need to consider when you're dealing with that particular individual, because that's what's going to make you beyond a root worker. It's going to make you a spiritual healer. And I'm not talking like put your hands on somebody and heal them. I'm talking walking in as a spiritual agent for healing and being able to walk into a situation and bring it back into a balanced state and remedy the problems that are in people's lives so that you're more than just a self-slinger. You are somebody that people want to go to for real, real advice. Okay? I'm going to hand it over to Conjurman Ali and see what he can advise for you.
Sure. That is great advice for everything. Lovely natural curls in the chat said, or it could come naturally with you and you can just do it. Most people who practice hoodoo, it's passed down because of a parent or a grandparent saw them. That's absolutely true. You can have the innate ability, but what we're talking about here is not the ability to actually, so, you know, cast spells, let's say, but the ability to work for a clientele, to become a professional root worker. Okay?
That's right.
And that's two different things. Okay?
I'm sorry, I'm going to break in here just a minute. Lovely Natural Curls is absolutely right. These gifts and these talents are passed down through families.
Yes.
But being a root worker with a storefront or a parlor or accepting strangers as clients is to be a business. Thank you, Ollie.
Yes.
Thank you, Lovely Natural Curls.
Yeah, it is two different things here. What we're talking about here is one is a root worker who works for his family and his friends, and the other is one who works for people they don't even know sometimes. And that to get to that level, you have to work up to the level. Now, for example, we asked if you've done root work, and the answer was no so far. Well, that's where you start. That's the first thing you do. Start doing some things for yourself. But are you having a little bit of money problems? Well, get yourself some money drawing product, Lucky Mojo money drawing product, and make yourself a money jar or a mojo bag, or take a money bath. You have to actually do these things. Reading the books is great. There's a lot of wonderful books out there. But conjure is practical. Conjure is earthy. You have to get your hands dirty. You have to get into the roots. You have to work with these products before you could even ever consider yourself remotely close enough to being a professional. And Kat, I and Dr. E have talked about this for quite some time. We call it the year of the root worker, but we can change it to the decade of the root worker. Everyone wants to be a root worker. That's great. That's wonderful. Make sure you take the practical steps to becoming a root worker. For example, take Kat's course. I cannot recommend it enough, especially for someone like you who's interested in becoming a professional. She gives you very practical advice. Not only does she give you the knowledge base that you need in order to know what root work is and how to perform it for clients, but will give you very practical things, how to handle certain clients, how to do certain things. and then consider the apprenticeship, because for me, when that Three of Pentacles comes up, there's a hands-on teacher there. There's two teachers watching and coaching that Master Mason. So you want that coaching one-on-one. Set up some magical coaching time with the members of AIR, with Kat herself. Go and take the apprenticeship and learn hands-on these traditions. And then the next step is to start doing work for yourself and then your friends and your family. And then slowly start doing exchange work for people, your fellow students. When you graduate from the course, you're given this amazing resource, which is the graduates group. The graduates group, you can ask someone, hey, I'm interested in becoming a professional. Who wants to exchange spells with me? I'm really good at money. How about you work for a little bit of love for me, and I'll do money work for you? And that's how it usually starts with exchange. Then it goes to donation. And then you can, you know, develop yourself into a very thriving business when you feel you're ready. The key here, however, is not to jump in and say, oh, I'm ready to become a professional because I've read all these books. No. Get the practical basis. Get the guidance that you need from an actual live teacher, which is that Three of Pentacles right there. Get the coaching that you need, and then start by building yourself up. Do things like Power Mojo Bags, you know, things with Master Root, John the Conqueror, Mugwort for Anise for psychic ability. These things that will help you develop your natural abilities, but will give you the practical skills to actually build a mojo. Feel that mojo. Were you able to successfully bring it to life? What can you do differently? What of yourself can you add into that mojo to really bring it to that next level? These are the ways that you want to start working. And then the next thing that I really want you to consider is the crossroads right. You have the natural raw ability. Go and open your roads at the crossroads. Go and gain that spiritual initiation that we've kind of been talking about by doing the crossroads right, in addition to the practical steps of taking the course, starting to work for yourself, and then your family and friends, and then going from there. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck to you. And I look forward to seeing you as a student, or maybe you'll be somebody else's student. And Johanna says meeting a real-life teacher could be added to those three things, the three things I was talking about. And he's right about that. That is really about community and learning.
And practical knowledge.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because people show up at my shop and, you know, they've taken the course and stuff. And recently two different people have shown up here and are working at Lucky Mojo and at Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. One is Joan Cox, who many of us know through the chat room here.
Good.
And the other is Lou Flores, who's a member of AIR. And each one of them has expressed to me that they didn't really realize how busy we were and how much work we do. We don't just sit there cashing checks, baby. We got to make things. We got to talk to people. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into being a professional root worker. And they all, you know, they were like, both of them said that to me privately. And I'm glad to show it to them and show them how to do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Ames in the chat room says, oh, my God, it's nonstop at Lucky Mojo. And that is so true. Also, Joan Cox has a blog, Jim the Conjurer said. And Joan's blog is really helpful if you want to learn what goes on at a place where she talks about, you know, today I cut candle labels. Yeah, you can't light candles for people unless you cut candle labels and glue them on candles, or you buy candles from someone who already cut the labels and glued them on. And that's where you're going to find where your position is within the community. All right. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and here we go, y'all. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with two of the best workers in the field. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 614 from Columbus, Ohio. This is Summer Love. Summer Love, are you here, caller?
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Erica.
Okay, Erica, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know that you have not consulted anyone before with regard to a reading or root work. Have you received any readings or root work from anyone prior to this reading that's here on the air? Okay? And Erica writes, I like a single man that lives in my apartment complex. I'm wondering if this guy is interested in me. Although I'm older than him, we run into each other at the store, and he may speak to me, or I'll catch him staring or glancing at me. Besides that, I'm wondering on what the hindrance or resistance is on his part in talking to me, if any. If something does exist, what do you advise? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, Ollie?
Sure. What I have done here, Erica, is I've pulled three cards, and I'm going to go over these cards and how they pertain to your particular situation. Very straightforward. The very first card we have is the Five of Wands. The Five of Wands shows five individuals with staves in their hands, and they are competing. Some people say it's a competition, but to me it looks like an all-out battle. That, you know, all five of them are fighting. When this card comes up, especially in a romantic situation, it tells me, you may have a little bit of competition. Not necessarily in the form of this gentleman has already a significant other, but it may very well be that there is more than one person that is interested in this gentleman and who this gentleman has interest in. So be aware of that, that this is not just a straightforward, oh, we met, we kind of hit it off, and everything is going to go smoothly. But know that there is going to be some, a little bit of fighting or vying for his attention, his affection, and whether or not you will be able to take this to the next level or not. The next card tells us if there's potential, and it's what I would consider a very neutral card in terms of relationships. This is the Seven of Pentacles. It shows a man leaning on a rake, and this rake, beneath it, there are these golden coins that are growing up out of the ground. It's the seeds that have been planted, and they're now growing, but he's not harvesting them. He's just kind of looking down at them, and there is inability to act. This is the card that says, there may be something there. There may be some attraction there. There may be some interest, very casual right now. However, it's going to take work. It's going to take, this isn't going to happen on its own. He's not just going to come up to you and say, oh, I'm interested, let's go out and have dinner or have a cup of coffee. This Seven of Pentacles is very much a, you're going to have to put a little bit of work into this if you're going to get this man to actually reach out and pluck those golden coins, okay? So it's going to take some work. You're going to have to rely on root work in this particular situation. This is a very earthy card. You're going to have to rely on some type of root work in order to get action. Right now, there's a very tentative interest. Okay, so it's there. I wouldn't consider it love or anything like that, or he's your soulmate. But I'm saying there's potential to turn this man into a possible lover, and that's really confirmed with the third card, which is the Empress. The Empress is this regal, beautiful woman sitting down on a very Romanesque-style couch, and she's got a scepter in her hands and a diadem of stars on her head, and she's got the shield of Venus at her feet, and around her is this luxuriant, beautiful garden with fertility and growth. This is an older woman. She's not, you know, one of the pages or even a knight. She is the Empress, even above a queen. She is an older woman, but it is a woman filled with love and affection. So there is an opportunity to bring this man to you and be his Empress. Okay,
that's
be the woman in his life. Be the woman that gives him love and receives his love, which is that shield of Venus in this card. So this is a very, the trend here is be aware that there is some competition, okay? This competition is going to make you work for him. That's the Seven of Pentacles. There's going to be a little bit of effort necessary in this particular situation. There's going to be work that needs to be done, but with that work, you will be able to be successful. I would not go on to say that this is one of those situations, oh, you found your soulmate, but I will say there's potential for him to become your lover and to actually let that interest blossom into something more. It is a good reading, but a reading that indicates work is necessary. Okay?
Okay.
Now I'll turn this over to my colleague.
I have a quick comment. While Ollie was reading those cards, I was going to get ahead and, like, pull a card, right? So I cut the card, and I also got the Empress. Mm-hmm. And rather than reread from what he said, I'm going to carry on with your other question, which was, if there is a hindrance, what is it? And the Empress tells us that the age difference may be a problem because, as he said, the Empress,
okay.
Empress is a mature woman.
That would make sense.
And she's a woman who is very powerful. She looks set in her situation, and that is part of the hindrance, is the age. You, one way that you might connect with him is also seen in the imprint's card, because you said you see him at the store. Is this by any chance a grocery store or food store?
It's like one of those little little convenience stores like Shell or whatever, where they have, you know, where you go into the, like, Go-Mart and get little stuff, convenience stuff, and, you know, you can get gas, too. So it's, like, right around the corner from the complex that we're in. So
all right. The reason I mention it is the Empress has a little field of grain growing in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And we often say that she can lure a man through food. If you can figure out a way to strike up a conversation with this guy in that convenience store, that is probably to your benefit.
Okay.
All right. So, and that's just simply from that one card reading. So,
I am older and he is younger. So.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what
okay.
I just said. All right. So, Dr. E., what do you think she should do root work wise?
It's funny that you would recommend food because that was the first thing I was thinking of. I'm all about taking tricks and cooking them into food and then feeding them to people in order to get their attention. Now, no one, I think Kat and Ellie were being very polite and didn't want to ask, but about how much of an age spread are we really talking about? You don't have to tell me, like, exact ages, but about how many years apart would you guesstimate the two of you are?
The truth is I really don't know what his age is. I'm assuming he might be 28, 27.
Okay.
I'm 39.
Okay. So I will tell you, astrologically speaking, he has yet to go through his Saturn return. So he has yet to really blossom into his full, you know, complete, confident manhood and his masculinity. And a lot of times when guys are younger and they haven't gone through their Saturn return yet, they are indeed intimidated by anyone who's older. In particular, a woman who's older, who knows who she is, who has her life together, who is not going to be one of these, you know, doting, giggling, insecure girls. You know who you are, you know, and he is still figuring out who he is. So that's part of it as well, okay? Now, in terms of root work, I would recommend if he does – now, you know he lives in your apartment complex or wherever you live?
Is there what?
Do you know that he lives in your complex, in the same place where you live?
He's in the complex. It's just a little bit ways down the street, like going towards another part of it. So, like, if I'm just, like, driving and going down the street, I will see him as I'm going down the street or see his car or something like that because he's in another part of the complex.
Okay. Well,
it's, like,
on
that main street there.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to break the ice and talk to him if you haven't talked to him yet. And just get to know him.
I have, but it just really hasn't developed from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I would recommend making a little treat and giving it to him as a present, okay? There's a couple options you can do. It's very, very traditional conjure for women to take a little bit of their menstrual blood, and if they don't have their period, to take a little bit of their urine and cook it into food and then feed it to a man. And this is an effective way.
Oh, my God. My great-grandmother used to always say that.
Of course she did. She knew what she was talking about.
She used
you know?
To say, use what you've got, honey.
Use what you've got.
Well,
you should
listen to your great-grandmother. She also was an
Empress. Great-grandmother was from the South, in the family from the West Indies.
Well,
she was into this stuff.
Right.
She really was.
Okay, but
listen to the
she
Empress.
She knows more than all of us. Yeah, she knows more than all of us. Listen to the Empress. So, you know, some good ideas, you can invite him over for a very special spaghetti dinner where you can cook some of your menstrual blood or urine into a pasta sauce that will hide the color and hide the scent. And, of course, you know, make a special batch of sauce for him and then a regular batch for yourself and just serve him up in the kitchen and come out with the two plates and feed it to him. Now, the thing is, when you
what if
cook,
I can't do the feeding part? What if something happens and I can't do the feeding part?
Well, let's come up with another one. It's really quick.
Okay.
If you give him a soda and just you know, go to the kitchen to get the soda out of the refrigerator and mm-hmm. just pass that soda through your between your legs and rub it up against your pussy.
Okay.
No, I know it sounds funny, but this is really traditional stuff. You know,
very old one.
Yeah, you want to have your essence on that, so that when he takes it into
well,
his body,
well, let me ask you this: his card's always parked out there. What if it's something that has to be on the internal inside of the body, or is there something that could be on the car?
Well, it depends. We're talking about different
too.
Ways. There are different ways Yeah, you can work with his car too, but you want to maybe make a little trail from his car to where you are, but make it invisible. So you could, for instance, take Follow Me Boy powder, mix it with some of the local dirt so it won't be seen, and then from the driver's side of the car, just drip a little bit down so when he steps out, he'll step in it, and then just sort of like sprinkle a little bit toward your place. But I'm going to tell you, be careful that you make that the natural color of the dirt. One lady I told this to many years ago, I did not tell her to make it the natural color of the dirt because I thought everyone had the sense that their great-grandmother gave them, but this lady did not. And she put down this Follow Me Boy powder, which is a pinkish-whitish color, all through her apartment complex. And on the wall-to-wall carpet, no kidding, this was in an apartment complex. And the guy just followed, and he knocked on the door and goes, "What are you trying to do?" And, I mean, he was angry,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So be careful.
See, that's what I'm curious about. I just didn't know
well,
if candle just work
make
or
it,
something would be more simple.
No, nothing works like contact. Candle is good, back you up while you're doing it. Light a Follow Me Boy candle in the home while you do that. Powder spreading,
yeah.
But do the work.
Yeah, the Seven of Pentacles is very earthy. You want contact magic with this, you know, get into his spirit.
Okay.
One of the things that people oftentimes forget is that part of doing root work is the risk, and the risk is part of the energy you're putting into the work. If magic was energy, if magic was easy, everybody would be a millionaire because they all won the lottery. Do you know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So you have to put the effort into it, and the risk is part of it. Now, another option, Kat gave you some excellent advice. You could also do the same kind of thing with an attraction powder and mix it with local dirt, and if there's enough intersections between his house and your house, you could sprinkle a little bit at each intersection leading to your house. The idea of saying, may all his roads lead to me, and may he be drawn to my front door, and may he overcome any of his internal insecurities and obstacles to make him come to my front door and come and be in my life. You know,
that's
an
excellent way of walking someone to your door, yeah.
Well, that's
the
thing. Everything's on a black pavement. So, and he's in, like, the way the complex are, it's like four flats upstairs. Downstairs. So there's
well, baby, you're making a lot. Baby, stop.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses. Okay, either you can do it or you can't. Now
no,
you can
I'm just
use
saying
the
that
oil.
I can. I'm just trying to think what's the best way to go
well,
about
you
it.
Well, you think when we get off the air, but I'm going to give you a couple of others, and then we got to go. You can use oil, and you can put it on the banisters. Right,
okay.
But you got to call his name into that oil so that he will follow. But nothing, you're not. You want to start at his vehicle or at his door, one or the other.
Okay.
Right, like I said, you can be burning a candle while you do the work.
Okay.
You want him to step into it. It's a contact spell. I'll tell you really simple. What I was taught when I was young, and I've told this to 1,000 people, if I've told it to one, get magnetic sand, sprinkle it where he steps, and when he steps back into it, if he steps backwards into it and his heel contacts that magnetic sand, he will turn and talk to you. And I've done it, and it worked for me. It did not get me the love of my life, but it did get me to go to a dance when I was a young girl.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call.
I just have one quick thing to add to that.
I can't imagine what all you guys are doing.
Yeah, just one thing to add to that is you can be quite sneaky about getting him to eat something. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to invite him over for spaghetti dinner. You can bake something, add your sexual fluids, and then when you run into him, strike up a conversation. Hey, you know, I have some extra brownies. I have some extra pie. Would you be interested? I have yet to meet a man who'll go, hell no. They'll be like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, and bring those brownies over. You bring them over, and there you go. You've got your sexual fluid in him, and you're still at a casual level, and you're able to do that. And before long, you'll have him sitting down for dinner eating spaghetti, all right?
Okay. Or, you know, you're at the convenience store, and, you know, you're all handling food. Maybe you notice what he tends to pick up there. Does he have a certain soda that he likes? Water?
Lottery tickets.
Oh, that's harder to touch. Well, you're going to be on your own on that one. You
can
be eating the lottery tickets. All right. But that, you know,
the other stuff will work. The magnetic, or you said Now, you said the Follow Me stuff is online and the Magnetic Sand?
Magnetic Sand is all online. And Half Moon House said, find something to celebrate. Hey, maybe you win a little bit of lottery ticket. If you play the lottery and you win a, you know, just a little scratchers, you can say, hey, you know, looks like I got your luck. Hey, let's buy a Coke together. You know what I mean?
Okay.
There's so many ways to do it.
Exactly.
Okay? You got to go out there with it. All righty. Good luck to you, baby. Thanks
Thank
for calling.
Thank you so much. Love you all.
All right. All right. Miss Tammy Lee?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Katz. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilencefig.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in area code 845 from the state of New York. This is Water Baby. Water Baby, are you there, caller? Is this Water Baby? Hello? Water Baby.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know. That this
okay.
is your first time, great, thanks, on the show, and this is also your first and one and only reading, and
yes.
You're right, it is situation, I'm sorry, say it again.
Yeah, Water Baby, you need to turn your radio off or
I
down, or your computer, good, thanks, we're getting,
I just did.
Okay, go on, Miss Tammy.
Yes, ma'am, and she writes, would like to know about my love life, have had lots of difficulty in this area, and want to know if there is something spiritually I can do to clear my path. Turning it back over to you.
All right.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. So, Dr. E., would you like to read this one?
Sure. Okay, Water Baby, it's nice to meet you. So, you've been having difficulty with your love life.
Yeah.
Is it just meeting the wrong kind of people, or is it that your relationships don't last? Just give me a quick, like, one-sentence description of what you're going through.
Well, really, it's a combination of both. I will meet somebody, and I'll get really excited. It looks like things are really going to, you know, work in the right direction or going in the right direction, and the person will just up and disappear.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let me go ahead and shuffle up my cards here and see what I can find out for you, okay?
Okay.
One of the things that we want to keep in mind when we're doing readings like this is while sometimes it may feel like there is some kind of spiritual influence taking place, sometimes it's things within ourselves where we actually keep setting ourselves up for particular situations. But let's see what your cards say, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to put down three cards here. The first card that I'm getting is the Knight of Pentacles. Now, this is a card that doesn't necessarily talk so much about love, but for me, when I read with this card talks a lot about self-esteem. Now, the Knight of Pentacles is the only knight card where the actual horse is not, like, galloping or moving or charging up. It's standing still. And in this case, it shows the knight holding a coin. Now, what this card says to me is that you need to really take a good, hard look at your self-esteem and how you value yourself and whether you think you are worthy of love or whether you think you are lovable. Because in many ways, those patterns and those habits and those mental pictures that you have about yourself are going to color your relationships and color the interactions you have with people. Now, the second card I have is the Lover's card. This is good. We're asking about lovers. This does talk about meeting the right match for you and meeting somebody that that can actually complement your weaknesses with their strengths and somebody that can accept you warts and all, like we say, right?
Okay.
So you do have the right kind of people coming your way, but the third card tells me what the problem is. Here I've got the Four of Swords, which for me, this always talks about things kind of coming to a resting point or coming to an end, and it's oftentimes followed by a period of contemplation and a period of respite, okay, needing to sort of stop and think about things. So did your most recent relationship, how long ago did that end?
I would say 2 years ago, and I've been, like, dating off and on for the last 2 years, but nothing really, you know, nothing that would stick, nothing that really was enduring. But my last relationship was 2 years ago.
Okay, good. And do you feel that you've come to a good, like, clearing, you know, point with that, and you're not sitting there reminiscing and thinking about what I could have done differently? Have you kind of moved on?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. So you have moved on or you have not moved on?
No, I'm not saying that I have not been, you know, reminiscing about the past or anything like that.
Yes.
No.
Okay, great. Then what I would recommend is that you need to do some of this clearing work that really revolves around your own self-esteem and attractiveness, and maybe like some love and crossing work or something, just to give you a clean slate. Because when you have a lot of these, what I call stepping stone relationships, where they're, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, 3 months, and they don't go anywhere, what ends up happening is it can start to feel really depressing and really hopeless. And that's where you just need a little cleansing, just to get a fresh start and kind of gather your resources back up and kind of love yourself enough to put yourself out there again and insist that you're not going to settle for any old Joe Blow that comes your way, but you're going to make sure that quality people come your way as well. So that's what my cards say. I'm going to go ahead and kick it over now to Ali.
Thank you.
Alrighty, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast the shell. So if you can bear with me as I just go through my invocation, and we'll see what Eshu says in regarding to love. Actually, I'll ask Pomajira, who happens to be the mistress of love. So let's see. Salve povo de Aruanda, salve Eshu, salve Pomajira, salve povo de Kimbanda, laro ai, laro ai, queso mexuna, queso e, queso mexuna, zambi e, Pomajira. To us. Okay. Is the road open? And what can she do to open the road? Who is this man in her future? Okay, interesting. I have a couple things for you here. The reading is very much in line with what Dr. E said, that the key to this particular situation is going to rest with you, okay? That this is not some type of external road blocking or any type of crossing work or jinxing. It's all about finding the right guy for you and having the innate acceptance of who you are to not settle for a man who may, on the surface, be sincere, but in reality is not what you're looking for. So not settling is going to be very important for you.
Right.
Success is going to come from your ability to really reach in that inner queen. We were talking about the Empress, and this really comes up in this particular reading too, after Opal Majira is an Empress in her own right. It's about really working with sensuality and love and bringing those abilities to the forefront to attract not guys, but the right guy. So what you want to do, in addition to his type of love and crossing, and Kat can go into this, is work on bringing your ideal lover, you know. No more, I'm just going to do attraction work, but specifically, a come to me, that guy that's going to be for me. And that will help to turn this situation around, because dating looks like it's going to continue with this kind of cyclical thing, where oh, you find a guy, you're interested in him, but there's some things that go, okay, well, I'll kind of put up with it, and the relationship falls apart in a couple months. No, you want that guy that you really resonate with on a deeper level, and he resonates with you. He gives you what you're looking for, okay? So not just say, yeah, I'm interested in dating you, but I'm not interested in the commitment right now. No more of those guys. We want to get you the right guy. And I do see that right guy coming for you. The sense that Pomajir has given me is you're probably around December of this year or around New Year's, possibly at a gathering of some sort. The gentleman will most likely be a fire sign, maybe a Leo, and the appearance, he's going to be quite tall, very open and honest face with large eyes and small teeth. Okay? So that's kind of the general image that you'll have. And his large eyes, they're very attractive eyes. When I say large eyes, meaning that he has, what would some would term bedroom eyes, you know? Those big, you know, big blue eyes or big brown eyes that really can make a woman melt. That's what you're looking at as an individual. And that's what we'll see coming up either end of December or beginning of January. And I'll turn this over to Kat on how you can draw this man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to start off with one of the oldest and seemingly very simplest types of love drawing work. This is a bath, and it's made with a kind of a berry called a cubeb berry or love berry. Have you ever heard of this thing?
No, I haven't.
All right. Cubeb berry is a relative of pepper. You know what black peppers look like? Kind of wrinkly and black. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is not a black pepper, but it's in the pepper family, and it is called a tailed pepper. It's a pepper that instead of like just being a wrinkly sphere, it's not very wrinkly. It's just a tiny bit of wrinkles, and it has the stem never breaks off the little ball, so it's called a tailed pepper. It has a tail on it, and it's also known as love berries. And we sell them in the shop. You can use them in cooking, just like you would a regular pepper. They are edible, and they are hot, spicy in food. But unlike black pepper, which is often used for protection or to drive people away, the love berries are used to find a new love. So what you're going to do is take these cubeb berries, and you are going to make a bath with them. Okay. Now, to get the real goodness out of them, you might want to boil a little bit in water. But don't make it so strong that you're going to hurt yourself when you take the bath. Because remember, it's
right.
similar to black pepper. Or some people would just sprinkle a handful of them in the bath. Some people would take and put them into a little tobacco sack or muslin bag and hang the bag on the tub spout and let the water go through that. You know how you do that.
Right.
But there's many ways to do it. Some people might add a little bit of rose petals and might add a little bit of sugar, but you don't need to. Just the cubeb berries themselves is what's used. Now, you're going to take that bath with these cubeb berries, and as you bathe, you're going to be calling, may the one I love come to me now. May the one I love come to me. Don't ask for people to date. We already talked with Ollie and Dr. E about that. Don't ask for more dates.
No more.
May the one I love and who loves me come to me now. And let them come to me swiftly. Let them come to me in a natural way through friends, through the job. Somehow they are looking for me and we are going to meet soon. Then when you're done with the bath and done praying on this, take the used bath water and all of the love berries. You're going to scoop them up in a little bowl, and you can't take all your bath water. Of course, that's too much. But you're going to strew these berries and the bath water all around your front yard. Just your front yard now, because you're going to want this person to come towards you. And just strew them around your front yard. You can bathe in this every night if you want to, until, and you can say, I'm bathing in these love berries every night until this man shows up. Okay? They are wonderful for that, and it's just a very simple, old-fashioned way to work. You can also cook with them, as I mentioned, and there are some recipes in the Hoodoo Foods cookbook that can be adapted, that are love recipes and can be adapted for a little bit to add these cubeb berries instead of black pepper and make them into little things. Cubebs are also used in, if you are making food for somebody who's a new friend and you're going to cook them dinner, in addition to what we were saying before about the menstrual blood and things like that in your food, you would want to cook with cubebs rather than just straight up black pepper. If you know, making a gravy or something like that.
Right.
So,
and it's just a cubeb and water, that's it?
I'm sorry, say that again?
It's just the cubeb and water, that's it.
Yeah.
It's in making the bath, I mean. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. It's just cubeb berries in your bath. Now, like I said, you could add roses, you could add a little bit of sugar, but you don't have to. That's just a more complication. We're just doing cubeb berries and baths to draw love. There are other ways to draw love, lodestones and so forth. There's very complicated spells, but I want you to start with that. One of the reasons I want you to start with that is that I want you to get into the habit of taking love baths, because the readings indicated that part of what's happening here is that because it's been a while and you've had all these little things that you're beginning to have a little doubt about your own powers of holding somebody, but you know in your heart those people were not the right one. And so don't doubt yourself. Just keep on saying, all right, I'm going to date every man on earth until I find the one who loves me and whom I love. Okay? So be okay about that. And don't doubt yourself. Don't second guess yourself. All right, hon.
Thank you
for calling, and good luck to you. All right.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And we have about 16 minutes remaining in the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Condiment Ali of ContinentAli.com. And this week's special guest, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to our callers who signed up to be on the air. And our next client is calling in from, hang tight with me there, calling in from area code 650 from Redwood City, California. Redwood City, California. This is Revive with B. Havana. Revive, are you there, caller?
Hi, yes, it's Bhavana.
Okay, great. I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead and repronounce that, or our wonderful host repronounce that for us. I just repeated your BTR name, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and remind them that you have indeed had a reading on the radio show, but for another situation. However, you have not sought out reading and root work consultations from any other member of AIR or from any place else, okay? And she writes, I recently met a man, and just prior to this meeting, both of us felt and dreamt that we had been a profound soulmate. Our first meeting was a strong heart connection, and I've never felt this way toward any other lover. He felt it too. He has not dated anyone in several years since the divorce. We had a brief second meeting and some communication in the last month or so. We haven't met again yet due to circumstances of me being out of town and him being busy, but now I feel a hesitation on his side because of our intense initial connection. It may have been caused by him to draw back. I also drew back initially because of past fears of relationships that have come and left and becoming peaceful, but now I deserve a lasting relationship. I feel compelled to continue our connection, and I'm asking guidance as to why this is going on now. Will we have a smoother road ahead? Will we be able to come together to meet, and when will it be? It's been over a month since our last meeting. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say a couple of things here. A really good meeting like that is something that you probably should. I'm not telling you because you didn't do it. I'm telling the listeners. When you meet well like that, drop everything else, even if you have to call in sick to the office. That's all I'm going to say. If you really want it, don't go into it with doubt. So many relationships have been killed by doubts that started hesitation either on one or the other side or both. Draw back because it was so intense, because of past fears. You've learned that lesson now. I hope you can retrieve and salvage this situation. But there is nothing like, you know, that meeting, you know, the one they show you in the hair color ads where the gal runs across the field to the guy and they fall into each other's arms. Or, you know, in the movie Benji where the little dog Benji meets the little dog Tiffany and they run through the fields together. That is, that's your ideal right there. So anytime you stop that, you know, grind it down and go, wait a minute, what are we doing? You've lost the momentum of a momentous occasion, okay? So now we're going to see what we can do. We're not going to worry so much about what's causing this, but we're going to see what can be done to try to retrieve this thing. I'm going to do three quick cards. Card number one, the Magician. Yay. Card number one is the Magician. That means you should do magic, so I won't even say anything more about that. But you should do magic with all four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. There is the Magician has above him an arbor of red roses, and that is passion, sexual passion. Down below, passion and the white lilies of innocence. And so to me this says you should do sex magic, okay? And he has a snake biting its own tail. So I will leave it to someone else to describe the form of sex magic that I see in the cards for you. Card number two is a very nice card. No problems here at all. But it does say that you need to be in touch with the situation. You need to really do some work, because it is a card called the Princess of Swords. And this is a woman who runs out into a field with a sword and then suddenly turns and looks back and goes, uh-oh, what's going on here? And that's a bad thing to do. So you have the courage to run out, but don't turn back. Don't turn back. The third card tells me that you can retrieve the situation, very likely, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to retrieve the situation. And this card is a card that tells me that there is a possibility of happiness. It is the Four of Wands, and it is a card that shows people celebrating, two people thanking God and making offerings of thanks for their having all the bounties of life that they wanted. So it looks possible, but self-doubt may cripple you. Let's go on to Dr. E and see what he has to say.
All right. I'm going to use my Lenormand cards. And the Lenormand cards will give me, sort of an approach with this here. It's interesting. The cards here are telling me that there's definitely issues from the past. Like you said, the intense connection, and then we drew away. With all of this drawing away, how are you ever going to come together? You know, and again, it's one of those things, like, I'm echoing everything Kat said. Hopefully you can recover this. It's about having to build up the intensity again. The sex magic is a wonderful suggestion. My cards are saying here that there also needs to be maybe a looking at the priority of work over the priority of connection, and that there may be a desire by him to want to withdraw into work, or you to withdraw into work, in thinking that that's more important than the connection you have between the two of you. So in addition to the work, there's really just got to be a reprioritization onto what is important here. And the cards that are telling me what's important is the spiritual health of the connection between the two of you, because there was a spiritual, there was a spark, there was a divine connection that happened between the two of you. That spark needs to be fanned into a flame. Sex magic is a great way to do that, but I would even say there may be a need to do some kind of prayer or altar work to supplement that, so that you hit things on the physical, sexual level, as well as the spiritual level up above, to get all those angels and saints and whatever you believe in all in line to help and root for you from the other side. So that's what I'm going to say, because we're getting short on time. I'm going to pass it over to Conjure Manali.
Okay.
What I would recommend in this particular situation, combining everything that was mentioned, you know, we're talking about passion, fire, sex, magic, is in your bedroom, and this is specifically in your bedroom, set aside a surface which you can create as a little love altar, nothing particularly elaborate. Put up a photo of this gentleman. You can find it, if you don't have one, you can find it on Facebook. Facebook is your friend. Put up a photo of this gentleman, and behind that photo, I want you to write out your petition, a little prayer to God. You can also write out a psalm if you're comfortable with the psalm. Psalm 23 for abundant love is always a good one. It's also one that talks of spiritual love and spiritual abundance and happiness. And you put in your herbs. You want to put rose petal, damiana, cubic berries, honeysuckle for him to cling to you. Herbs that are, you know, powdered Queen Elizabeth root. I don't like to put an entire root because it's going to be going behind the photo in the frame. Put that all in an envelope, and you put that behind the frame, and you dress the frame with some Love Me Oil, Fires of Love Oil, because we want to rekindle that fire. Then dress two red candles. Have three red candles ready, but dress two of them and set them to either side of this picture frame. Dress them with Fires of Love, Love Me, and light them, okay? The third one, I want you to dress with the oils, but don't light yet. This one is going to be set in front of the candle, so you have a little triangular formation with the candles, okay? And it's an upside-down triangle, which is often associated with female sexuality and a sacred, you know, pubic area. What you'll do is, by light of those candles, you will perform sex magic. Now, use your imagination. That other third candle can be used in a variety of ways. I'm going to put this delicately. In a variety of ways sexually, in order to fill it with that sexual power. You can also gather the sexual fluids that are created, you know, that are generated or produced during that sex magic working and dress it, the candle, that way as well. Then, after you're done, you light the candle and, you know, you're exhausted but filled with euphoria. You accept that this love is now yours, that he is looking at you through the flames of love. That's why you want that third candle in the front. And then the other, all three of them will burn down as you pray. You might consider lighting incense after you do your sex magic rite. So it's a three-part type of work. You light the candles to set the mood, to bring that power all into your room. You may even dress the four corners of your bed with the oils and your sexual fluids to say, you will come to me to this bed. Then you will perform your sex magic. Then you light the third candle and, you know, say your prayers again over it after you finish with the sex magic. You might also do this with incense. I prefer working with incense when I'm working with someone from afar because it really works on them. And you can actually write his name and put it in the incense. You put a little pile of incense right on top of his name, and what that does, it heats him up as it burns the paper. It brings those fires of love to work directly on his spirit. And I often do this, adding a little bit of personal concerns into incense so it gets burned up with the prayers. A very old way of working, and one very common in Jewish magic, burning your prayers. And I think that this is exactly what you need. The combination of what Dr. Lee said and Kat said, sex magic, a little bit of fire, and bringing this man to you by rekindling his passion and connection to you.
I just have to add something. There's been some interesting comment in the chat room. Erica Cologne said, how long do you do this? And I replied, until you're satisfied. She then asked, she meant,
so
how many
knees are
days
weak, honey.
Do you do it? How many days? And Dr. E said, 127 days.
Once you start, honey, you don't want to stop.
Yeah. And, yeah.
It's a great way of working.
Yeah. So, but these kinds of workings you can do really, you know, just keep on working until you get satisfied and until you get some results. I think that this can be pulled back into reality. I don't think it has decompressed to the point that it is unredeemable, but you do want to try to build up a little head of steam here. If it doesn't work, give yourself 3 months. If it doesn't work, let it go and just say, next time I will be more ready, steady on what's going on, okay? And both of us, two of us saw that that there was this moment of doubt, like maybe I should be doing my work instead, or maybe I should be paying attention to normal reality. No, when the world of sex magic beckons, say goodbye to normal reality, and until you've really moved what you want to move in that world, all right?
Okay, that makes
all right.
a lot of sense. Does he still feel the
connection?
There's
a site I have, luckymojo.com/sacredsex.html. It'll give you a lot more information. All righty.
Thank you very much
for the call. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Ms. Kat and Contraband Ali, and thank you, Dr. E of ContraDoctor.com in Long Beach, California, for being our special guest this week. And we invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Ms. Bree of MilwaukeeRoots.com in San Antonio, Texas. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Condemn Ali at condemnali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. thank you, Dr. E, for being our guest. I really
enjoyed
it, as always.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you, Ollie. Yeah, you're great. And remember, folks, check out his safe posts about the fraudulent giving of Orishas. And Ollie, thank you so much, pal, for being my pal.
Oh, thank you, Kat, and Nagashiva, and Tammy Lee, and Dr. E. It was a great show.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
And I also just want to give a shout-out to the folks down in the shop, to our newest employees, Joan Cox and Lou Flores, who is working as a reader at our church. If you all need readings and you can't book me, try calling AIR and getting Lou or Joan, okay? Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.